Go ahead, call us to order. This is the regular meeting of the West Lafayette Community School Corporation. And the first item on our agenda is to hear from Mrs. Delaney about her exciting trip to DC. So come on up.
I'm going to do a little show and tell you. I have to pass this around. It's deceptively much lighter than it
I like how you dressed on theme.
We did.
Yeah, that was smart.
Very fun to take you all shopping for this trip. Thank you all for entertaining us tonight. We wanted to bring our Blue Ribbon Award just to kind of show it off a little bit and to give you guys a little bit of the backstory in the process. I think that was a question a lot of people asked. Like, how did you do this? How did this come about? So we're going to see if the clicker works. It does. Great. So before I get much further, I do want to just kind of give a moment to give a shout out to our staff members who helped write this, what is it called? Application. Thank you. Words are gone. And I do have three members here with us tonight. Our other members had other engagements. So we have Mrs. Rhonda Laney, who is our assistant principal, Mrs. Marcella Holmes, our dean of students, and Mrs. Janine Benhart, who's our one of our EL teachers of record, and she actually came as a teacher representative with us to Washington, D.C. And then we also have Rebecca Gould, who's a first grade teacher, Di Van Dyke, a special education teacher, and Jessica Schindley, another first grade teacher. We all met together to write this application. It was pretty intense, but it was a good time to get to really think about what sets West Lafayette apart. So here's just a timeline. I won't read everything verbatim to you, but this started out in February of this year, and I got kind of a weird cryptic email that it seemed a lot like spam, saying that we had been nominated by a delegate from Indiana to apply for the National Blue Ribbon Award, and then we got all of the super top secret sign your life away access to sign up for this award. Then in April, we submitted our application, and things were kind of quiet. They had a few follow-up emails with us just to see, if we had any further questions, but it seemed like everything was a go. And then in June, again, I know Dr. Greiner and Anna and Michelle, they kept getting my emails like, is this real? Am I reading this correctly? In June, we received notification that we were in the final stages of review and they had no further questions for us. So I thought that seemed pretty positive. And then finally in September, again, we had a cryptic email saying you should probably tune in and watch this presentation on this day at this time. And that's when we received a very official word that we were one of the final schools to win. And so as we went to Washington, D.C., we did find out that there were 400 schools that also won this award, which was pretty awesome. We did plan some fun celebrations, of course. We are, all the land of the littles. So we love having a good colored day. So we had Blue Day. So this was on Friday, September 27th. Our parent council helped us out a lot by buying pom-poms for the teachers, bracelets, and special treats. We even had a giant cake to help us celebrate. And we were able, with Brandon's help, to get some aerial shots of the whole school. So this is our whole school, our student body, all staff. So there's about 800 people standing there. It's kind of hard to believe. And we do have a giant picture of this in our front foyer. Now the kids were eagerly trying to find themselves. They could. They did a good job. Just for your information, that way, this is kind of like a little digital time capsule as well. I do have links. So where you can see the National Blue Ribbon School site, the award notification that says our name on it. You can watch us walk across the stage and get our award. And then you can read the full application where that shares all of the information where we got to brag about our school. I think some of the most interesting things that we found was just really digging into some of our demographics. I mean, this is our everyday. We have this very diverse student population and we have volunteers from everywhere coming in on a daily basis, but to really think about that and how unique that is was pretty awesome. So that was like my favorite part of the application process. And then we did get to go to Washington, D.C. So, like I said, Mrs. Benhart and Dr. Greiner and myself took off, a few days after Election Day. We were a little nervous, but things were fantastic. It was 80 degrees and gorgeous there. And so while we were there, let me go back. We did have 2 days of ceremonies, and then we did have some time to go do some sightseeing. So we were sure to snap some pictures for the kids and sent those back. They really enjoyed getting to see that. And since it was live streamed, one of our classes even watched it as we went across the stage, and the cheers were pretty adorable. So there's our fabulous award, and that will be hanging in our school. We have a small display case that we have up front, so that will now be tucked away in there. And I just wanted to say, you know, this award is really a culmination of multiple years of work and lots of tweaking, lots of hands, lots of eyes, lots of brains put into this. And really, I just wanted to share the dedication of our teachers. There's no way that we could get the iLearn scores that we do without the dedication of our teachers and as well as our families who support us. So that was my final remark. But any questions? And I'm happy to share any of our sightseeing pictures. They were adorable.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So proud of you all. That's amazing. Okay, next we're going to hear from someone we don't often hear from, Mr. Hamilton. Come on up and talk to us about technology.
Well, thank you all. I have a short presentation for just some technology updates. We'll start with just some of the equipment that we manage day to day, some numbers on those. We'll get into some of the completed projects that we've wrapped up this school year so far with some stats combined in there, and then also a couple of upcoming projects that we've got looking ahead. So just some managed equipment that we deal with. So 50 servers is about where we're at right now. So that's a blend of physical machines and virtual machines. We've got 110 switches throughout all of our buildings. This provides internet connectivity, power over Ethernet to our access points and our classrooms and our phones, and over 100 miles of Ethernet cable and patch cables and fiber cables. I'm pretty sure that's true. Don't fact check me on that one. PCs, laptops, Chromebooks, we manage over 3,000 devices here in our corporation. In the classrooms, we've got over 200 TVs and projectors, and printers, and then miscellaneous equipment like 3D printers and document cameras, things like that, another 500 or so. And then throughout the corporation, we have 280 cameras as well. So earlier this year, Mr. Rogers came to me. He's like, look, we've got people spending too much time on attendance. Can you help fix it? And so we got into, you know, looking at what we can do with this, and we worked with School Messenger, and we did some scripting, and there's some scheduled tasks involved, but basically based on some absence criteria for students, if they meet that criteria, we send them over to School Messenger, and then each day that contact list gets updated and overwritten, and then calls and emails go out each day, just robocalls, so we're not physically going and searching for these kids and running reports and making calls. And I did run a report for all of last month, so all of November. This system pushed out 259 phone calls and 322 emails. So this is important stuff. I mean, because this just frees up time for when you get those emails and those phone calls that end up taking the next 2 hours of your day. It just gives us more time to put towards those things. And also with attendance, Chad brought this up last month, but the Skyward Family Access request, we're going to start running some of this for the junior, senior, at least initially. But on the left, I've got a screenshot of what that's going to look like for the parents. And this is ready to go. We're going to turn it on and put out some information to parents. But on the left side, that's kind of a look at what the parents would see. They just click the dates, the reason, the absence reason. They can put a comment in there if they want. And then all the beauty, the magic happens there on the right when the office staff goes in there to approve those. It all shows up right there in a queue, in a list. They wouldn't have to search through their voicemails, their emails, their Google Forms, whatever random way whatever mode that they're accepting these requests. So I think going forward, you know, the next school year, at least a junior, senior, I know they want to use this plus, you know, phone calls and voicemails. If we can get those to the two main modes, I think that's going to help us out. Student Chromebooks, we rolled out 700 new Chromebooks. This is a refresh year for us. The old fleet gets used as spares and for state testing and also in our loaner lockers. We've got two loaner lockers that we use at the junior, senior high school. This is used if a student breaks their device or they forgot it or forgot to charge it or whatever reason, they can come and check out a device for the day. We average about 10 checkouts per day in those. And then so far this year, our accidental damage on our Chromebooks is less than 3%. So that's phenomenal. And that's well below the national average. So, and that includes like cracked screens, dogs eating chargers. We get it all, but it's been very low so far this year. Kids are taking care of them. Our staff, I don't have any data up there, but I mean, it's less than 1% with our staff. They just take care of our stuff. So it's great. The new central office building, we spent a good deal of time over the summer in this building, modernizing the network infrastructure. We had to go in and remove a lot of the old cabling, put in some new cabling. I've got a picture there on the right as part of that process of us pulling new cable in there and putting in some new equipment. So we focused on getting that office side done. And then once school started and here more recently, we worked on the meeting side of things to get that room ready. We got some TVs in there, some ceiling speakers added, some more equipment, and then the wireless conference units and microphones that you'll get to use. We still look at maybe next month, potentially. So looking forward to that. Some projects that we're currently working on and moving toward is migrating to Cisco WebEx. This is our phone system upgrade that we're working on. This is a bit of a beast, but right now we're working to get that the user side of that nailed down, and part of that's through the WebEx directory connector. So that's basically, it sits on our servers locally. And so when we're creating an account or a new teacher or someone that's going to have a phone attached to them eventually, we'll be able to right there add them to a WebEx group for whatever building they're in. That gets synced over within the hour to WebEx. And then once we're ready to provision a phone for them, they're already there, they're ready to go, and it's quick and easy. So we're going to have this system for a long time, so we're doing it right the first time from the ground up. And then from the hardware side of that project, we've got a lot of old phones. And so it's going to be a hybrid configuration because we can't just wipe out the phones for a month and replace them all with new ones. It just doesn't work that way. So we'll have to have this hybrid setup. And right now we're working on this local gateway device here, and it kind of sits, it's the go-between the new phones and the old phones. And so we're working on configuring that, and our goal is the timeline down below. You'll see special ed and the transportation office, we're looking to get them up and running before 2025, and then moving on to central office maintenance and then the school buildings. So that is our timeline there. We also have a current E-rate bid out right now. So E-rates are federal funding. We get discounts for internet and then also for the hardware used to utilize the internet. So access points, switches, things like that. Based on our poverty level demographic, we get a 50% discount rate. And we started out with a $400,000 budget between 21 and 25. So it's a 5-year budget cycle, and this does not roll over. So if you don't use it, you lose it. And so our last E-rate budget or E-rate project was network switches. And then that left us after the internet discounting too with a $173,000 project. And that's what we've got to bid right now. And that's that bottom line there, the two wireless controllers and 165 access points. So it won't quite cover the whole project, but that's what we're hoping to accomplish with this one. And then maybe in the next cycle, we can finish that project out. So that is the current E-rate project. So I hope that provides some more insight on what we do, what we get to work on, how we get to support the schools. So yeah.
So when we were developing the plan for the intermediate school, one of the goals there was to move that to be kind of the hub.
Yeah.
Did that turn out to be a good decision still?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Yeah. So that is our primary data center. And then the high school we are using as the backup secondary location. That's our failover site. So, yep.
And then the other thing I noticed on there that you have some percentage of emails and phone calls that fail on the automated.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that an effective way to keep our student information system updated? I mean, I'm assuming they fail because we don't have correct numbers for being able.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, some of those are bounce back. Some of those are blocks. So calls getting blocked, and people refusing consent on their devices. So, but yes, it is. That's a good point. Yeah, it is a good way to catch those bounce backs and any misspellings and emails and things like that. You're right.
Mm-hmm. How many times a year do you say, have you tried turning it off and back on?
At least, I say it more tactfully than that. Power cycle it.
Power cycle it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
I'm laughing because he's had to help me a couple of times. I get my he's very gentle and kind. Back on. So. Oh,
yeah. I appreciate all that you do. This is great. Yeah, Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't have you. I don't have it on. You just have to yell at me.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And the first is the high school put an update on the website. And I've heard about the parents that they wish to have the receive the update, but I also heard that the reason for not having sending the update to parents is some parents don't want it. So I wonder.
What update?
The high school update. There are some like I didn't check it.
The announcements?
Yeah, announcements.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder because when parents register kids, then you can choose to opt in like a education foundation or some other.
Yeah, I'm tracking with you. I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep. To add another line in there so you can opt into receiving the announcements.
And
sure.
Parents also know that they can have a certain
yeah. Are we sending those to parents now? I know they're on the website, but I don't.
Like the weekly announcements.
Yeah, yeah, the weekly announcements.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know, thinking, I know they're on the website under the announcements, but I don't know that we're sending them out to parents. Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Right. Sure. Yeah, the students are seeing it obviously on the screens and they're getting it from their homeroom teachers and yeah, but the parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it depends on it depends on the program that's sending it out. So there's not a lot of, so if we're using Skyward or something like that, it's going to send it in an attachment. Okay. And so, I mean, feel free to send those my way or to the building admin so we can take a look at it if you have any questions on. Yeah, that'd be great. Sure. Yeah, we have quite a few people that send out emails, so you know, some people may do it one way and others a different way. So yeah.
Yeah,
so Sure. Yeah. So typically the teachers would be able to field those emails. So a parent would probably reach out to the teacher and be like, how can I get linked up to your Canvas account? Some teachers use it more heavily than others. And so then they would provide them that information, or they would send them our way. And then I would send them, we have documentation for how to become a Canvas observer is what you're asking. Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, the process can be, it's not super intuitive to just start when make a new account. So yeah, I get that. So yeah, if teachers can send them that information, or like I said, they can send them to me and we'll put that information out. It's actually on the website too. We've got, so that's where we point parents to once they reach out, we'll point them there. Yeah.
I would be eager to hear what the teachers would want and the administrators for the high school would want. For me, the ability to manage one's schedule, to read information that is emailed to me, that is not something when our children go to college that we are able to get. So they need to learn to manage their academic life. And so I kind of feel like that should be driven by the administration, and I would not be in favor of wholesale feeding of information. So I want to put that out there that the board might not be in complete agreement about that philosophically. So mm-hmm. we might need to have an option if there were going to be a wholesale change.
Sure.
So okay. We do have more than 10% of students, and some students do need more support at school. And I feel it's not as like feeding and saying that. I think we need to keep this back to the engaging needs. We have that option. That's what I heard. That's why I'm asking for the option. Okay, it seems we have
sure.
that option. But some parents say they don't know how to use it.
So yeah.
Ask them, do they want? Yeah, I need this option. What to do? I really appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. And I can talk with the teachers too about. Yeah, if they're fielding a lot of questions about Canvas, and if it's something I can send out, I'll do that. I mean, I know we send out a ton of emails, so, and I know a lot of stuff gets lost in the weeds. It can. I've heard of parents creating school accounts, and that's really a kind of a nice strategy to create a separate account for your family that's used for Skyward to field all those incoming messages. It helps sort it so it doesn't get lost in your own inbox. But sorry, did you?
I think we're good. I was just going to say, you said it's online how to do it. So really, correct. It's just connecting the parent to you, those who need support, because you can make it a very friendly process, correct?
Yep.
So really, honestly, parents can be even encouraged to talk with the school secretary. That's what, as principal, I probably would have done. But if it's online, it's available for any parent. And I think Mr. Hamilton's just saying mm-hmm. he'll talk a parent through it to make it very easy to.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
The Skyward thing is the same. I remember last time when we talked about, some kids need a multiple parents to get a certification, and then even grandparents sometimes. Then
that's kind of what I was thinking of when, our secretary often filled in questions and or could talk a parent through for like the Skyward when I was principal. So that's why it's an easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it start with teacher or secretary, I would say, because the secretary is always going to guide them or either help them with it or guide them to the person that needs help.
Okay, super. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Appreciate it.
All right. And no one signed up to talk to us this evening, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. I need a motion, please. Moved by Lawrence.
Second
by Rachel is.
To take out the counter payable and out of the consent agenda. I just have one question about it.
Okay. So Yui has moved to remove the accounts payable from the consent agenda. Is there a second? Okay, Daisha seconded. All those in favor of pulling the accounts payable for a question, please indicate with a raise. No, we don't have to do that. Darn it all. Okay, so we'll pull that down to the next item. let's go ahead and vote on the consent agenda first, though. All in favor of passing the consent agenda, please. That's everyone, six, Mrs. Julian. Okay, so moving on to accounts payable. Yui, what's your question?
I compared the account payable for the church and church legal service and the fee. So last month, we are charged $2,265, which I think is a retainer. And this month, we are charged $3,202. So the difference is not that big, but I wonder whether they charge for the meeting that they had with Deisha or...
There are additional charges outside of the retainer that we get sometimes each month if we have maybe a personnel issue that we need to talk about or a special case, like maybe you can help me give an idea.
I can't think of one right offhand, but yes.
Sorry, if I would have known beforehand, I could have brought to you what those were, but I don't remember those off the top of my head. So, okay. But yes, we just do want get to special make sure... billings from time to time.
Yeah, I just want to make sure they didn't charge the meeting because they said they won't, right, last time.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Which meeting? And I'll ask.
The meeting with Deisha last time.
Okay.
Yeah, you've just.
I will ask and then I'll let the board know and Freddie know.
Yeah, I remember last time when Amy asked for them, they said no, right? So just make sure. They didn't forget.
Yep, we will double check and we'll let the board know. Thank you for the question.
Thanks.
Okay, and since the accounts payable is out, now I need a motion to, thank you, Rachel. Seconded by Tom. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of accepting the accounts payable, please raise your hand. That is everyone, Mrs. Julian. Okay. There is no unfinished business, so we'll move forward to new business. Mr. Rogers with scheduling and summer school updates, please.
Pretty short and sweet. We're going to do the same summer school process that we did last year. I say that like I was here, but I've seen it written down. So same one, and then the contracts will be available in January. So we still have... pretty much full summer school. That's it. Super. Short and sweet.
That is short and sweet. Thank you. Any questions? Deisha.
Before we'd done a pilot, I mean, last summer we didn't do it, but before we'd done social studies, like our own teachers, is that something that's still on the table we're discussing? Is that something, where does that stand?
It's a good question. So we discussed it. We're not doing it really. That's the teacher's call. So there's the whole compensation piece, correct? And then there's kind of this, I can say this, even though I haven't been here, the summer school process has changed for high school, right? Like it used to be a big deal for high school. The state got behind that with funding and it's just kind of flipped over with the elementary being kind of more of a priority to get those kids through third grade that I learned. So really for the social studies teachers, it's just the funding's an issue. Let's just go with that.
So at this point, none of our teachers have chosen to do summer school teaching. It's all this Indiana Online, Ivy Tech,
ABE. Yes, correct.
All those other things is where we're at this point.
Correct.
Thank you.
They don't like that. I can add that. They think that they're better.
Okay.
And I agree. So.
But they're not. But we're not offering them to teach in the summer. It's just they're hoping students will take it during the school year. Is that what you're meaning?
Say that one more time.
None of our teachers are offering summer school in the summer.
Correct.
There's conflict of schedules. So they're just hoping students would take it during the school year?
No. We're going to offer kind of a full array social studies, English, math, science offerings. It's just it's not going to be taught by our teachers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick correction. It's not I learn, it's the I read.
Sorry, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's just that it's new. And so that's why I just want to make
elementary. I'm high school, so
absolutely. And third grade, I read. So,
all right,
super. Thank you very much. Okay, Dr. Greiner, let's talk about tennis.
Okay, so as you're aware, we've been in communication with several stakeholders, including community members, coaches, our athletic director, regarding the proposed memorandum of understanding that allows us to accept $750,000 in partnership with the city. Given some of the concerns raised, we've been working with the city and we've made some adjustments to the MOU that was originally presented. You've seen that in the Friday notes now and in your board packet. These adjustments mainly address striping and placement of striping to ensure that we're not interfering with the student experience pertaining to tennis competitions. Excuse me. The pickleball lining will no longer be directly on the actual tennis courts, but it will either be in the middle, as you've seen in some examples, or off to the side. That'll be determined later, and the city is good with that as long as we stay true to having pickleball striping. So given that we've got some flexibility there and we know that we're going to continue to work and not put them on the tennis courts, and that is supportive of the wishes of the coaches too, it's my recommendation that the board approve the memorandum of understanding as is presented in your packet.
Okay, I need a motion. Moved by Tom, seconded by Rachel. All right, any discussion? Okay, let me write that down. UE has moved to table. Is there a second for tabling the MOU?
Can I hear some rationale behind the table?
Sure. Before the second? Can you explain more?
Sure. Thank you. As we all know, and we received many emails and who from community members who oppose and adding the pickleball to the tennis court. I'm so glad that now it's not in the court, but still there are problems. We received further emails about it, and first of all, back up. And I really appreciate the city's contribution. I feel to some degree, this is great. And however, we received those oppositions from the community members. And so far, unless I missed it, and nobody actually is happy. The emails we received are happy about it. Another thing is that we haven't received any email from the pickleball players. And so I feel the current plan might be problematic, especially for the pickleball players. And I personally went to the court and measured the distance between the tennis lines, and I found it just enough to fit the pickleball court. And that means once the pickleball court is there, and there's no extra space for the tennis players to play. So if one pair of pickleball players play pickleball there, nobody else can play tennis on the court. And also there's otherwise it can be dangerous because the tennis balls goes very fast and very strong. And then also there's a lamp post in the middle of the tennis court. So it will be at the end of the pickleball court. If the pickleball players back when they play, they may hit the lamp pole. And so we do need the money. And so I'm thinking we can explore some other options. For example, solicit donations from alumni and community members. And we can at least try and give them the naming right. They can name the courts after themselves or after anyone who they want to honor. Or we can ask Purdue, because many of the, they are important party in our community, and many players of both the pickleball and the tennis actually are Purdue faculty or staff members. They can contribute in some way, either contribute the money or they can probably find the land for the four pickleball courts. Actually, pickleball courts are very small. It's four courts only take one tennis court. And there are so many lines, they can easily find a place to put the pickleball courts. They don't have to squeeze in our tennis court. I really feel it's not a good idea. Back to the earlier point, I think we should solicit the pickleball players' input, because if I play pickleball, I won't be happy to play there. It's dangerous, and also I have to fight with those kids and to play and feel bad. And so, I feel we can take more time to explore some other options and solicit feedback from the pickleball community.
Okay, so right now we're only talking about the motion to table. So we need a second to motion to the motion to table. Having heard that, is that what you'd like to do, or is there a second, I guess, is the way to ask that. Okay, so that motion fails for lack of a second. So now we're going to return to the original motion, which is to approve the memorandum of understanding. And we had a motion and a second, so now it's time to discuss that. Lawrence.
Just a quick question. So basically, you know, first of all, I appreciate the CTs and also our longtime partnership with them. I think this good arrangement. But the one option, I think, is there possible? I see the current tennis court, there's walkways in the middle. Is there possible to extend that a little bit so we can have kind of a 10 whole tennis court and plus four? For pickleball court, is that physically, is that doable? Do we have
a great question, Mr. Wong? And yes, that's something we're going to look at. So okay. That is one option we will look at for consideration. And of course,
okay,
as they plan and develop that facility, they'll guide us on that. The folks that'll work on the courts for us. So that's a great question, and it's something that we want to look at. And that's why when we talked with the city about rewording the MOU, it gives us the flexibility to explore those things. Second thing I want to say, because you make a great point, Dr. Yin, about the poles in the middle, and those will not be there. Those are going to be removed, and we're going to be able to put those on the side now because of new lighting opportunities. And so that won't be an issue, but it could have been, as you suggested, if those poles were going to remain there, and they won't be there. So that's a good thing.
So if I'm understanding, the memorandum gives the school district and the city the flexibility to decide with the contractor who would be building the tennis courts.
I'll go a step further. The memorandum gives the school district the flexibility, because the city is just telling us we need to see four courts if
wherever
we're going to use funding that is competitive. And so they're not even going to get involved in it as long as we've got our four courts offered for pickleball. So yes,
so,
to the flexibility,
yeah.
But it'll be the district that gets to work with the contractor and determine that.
Gotcha. And as always, I trust that you're going to make everything as safe and healthy for the kids and good for the players as possible, right?
We will always work to put the well-being of our students first, and we will always commit to that.
Yep. Okay. Yui, go ahead.
So we need to provide a space for four pickleball courts. Do we have to put them in the tennis court, or we can, if we found another good spot to put the four courts, and we can put them there? Because I just wonder
if we are going to accept the $750,000 for the tennis court project, we need to find a way to incorporate the opportunity to play pickleball in that space too. If you created another pickleball space on our property, we'd be developing something for a sport that we don't offer to our students, and we would be incurring a new cost and a new responsibility that is separate from the tennis courts when what we're working with is the tennis court. So originally, if you recall, members of the board suggested that we see if the city would be willing to partner with us. And interestingly, we had already been talking among ourselves, Mrs. Kronk, me, and Mr. Reuter. And we, because in Hamilton Southeastern, where Mr. Reuter was for years, they've done many partnerships like this, snow removal and so forth. And so the suggestion was that as we began to develop our priority list, we know that the community utilizes our courts, so why not go to the city and see if they would be willing and or interested in partnering with us so that as we upgrade our facilities, we can continue to offer that to the community as well. And they were very generous to do that, but they very quickly said with the stipulation that we incorporate some pickleball lines.
Right, yeah, I understand the four pickleball, but my question is, do we have to put the four pickleball on the tennis courts, or it's okay to put it elsewhere? Because another concern I heard is the there's no bathroom actually near the tennis court.
Well, there never bathroom has in been. The
Willis?
There never has been a bathroom right. For the tennis people to use.
The problem with having pickleball courts there is many of the pickleball players actually are senior people. They need a bathroom nearby. So those people feel that's not a good spot for them. And so, yeah, it's there's unless we built a bathroom there.
I don't think that's in the scope of what we're talking about. What do you think?
Well, yes, I asked the question, can we accept the money and not have the lining? And the answer was, we need to line for pickleball. So I did ask that after our last meeting.
Rachel?
I just want to express gratitude to the city for working with us on this. I think it is important to consider when we're having all of this back and forth. And I think we received three communications. I don't know that I would call that many, but we have received three since the new plan went out. And my concern with this, if we imagine that we're not going to do it, and we say, no, city, we don't want your money, our players are not going to get what they need. And I would have a difficult time as a board member choosing to spend taxpayer money on $2 million of taxpayer money on courts for tennis that a small percentage of our students use, mm-hmm. as opposed to capital project funds that are needed that affect all of our students. So there's some difficult financial repercussions of not going ahead with this as it is, negative repercussions on the tennis teams, because this construction has to start at some point, and fundraising takes time. And they've been very clear that the current situation does not work for them. And then I also, I believe that we have an obligation first to our students. If we are going to build new tennis courts that are specifically for our tennis teams, every other school in the county who has tennis courts have locked them to the public because they have solely funded them. We're going to have to question if we solely fund the tennis courts, if we lock them, and I have concerns about that from an equity issue, because renting tennis court space in this town is not inexpensive. So it's a little bit more complex. And I think that this is an excellent compromise that's been reached. And I thank Dr. Reiner and the city for navigating through that.
Thanks. Anyone else? Lawrence.
Dr. Reiner, I just want to make sure. So my understanding is given current MOU, we say, let's say we approve that tonight, we still have the flexibilities in case we can, if physically available and also financially, we can have 10 tennis court and maybe separate for pickleball.
So I understand that, why you're asking, like that center space that you're talking about. So if we were to expand the square footage, and if we have the room, it's very tight. That's why I don't want to commit to that. That's why I say either in the middle or on the side, or where you're talking about that sidewalk area. If we can expand that and we find that we're able to do that, they're fine with that. When I say they, the city is fine with that. Yes, but I just can't guarantee that because I don't need the space. But you are right, Mr. Wong.
Yeah.
We do have the flexibility to get creative within that space to get those four courts there. I just don't know if the space will allow it.
And we're by no means tennis experts here at all, so we really can't get to the weeds of that design until we lock down the company that will do the design and the work.
Okay.
So we can talk all we want, but until they get in and do the design and see what they can do, they may even come up with other ideas for us.
Okay, that's great.
They will only do so, the ones I'm kind of talking to, they can only do so much until we get a contract with them.
But yes to the flexibility. That was your original question.
Because that makes me more comfortable. Because another day I go stop them. There's walkways in the middle, so I measure that. Seems if we squeeze them a little bit, so maybe we can
expand maybe both directions.
Exactly. Yeah, so that make everybody happy. Because I still want the whole 10 tennis court, because that tennis court is still, I mean, if you look at the margins, I think it's 12 feet. So that's kind of a so-called recreational tennis. It's not really professional. So if our tennis team have section games or whatever, I mean, we want, you know, to have a perfect kind of court. So if we have that flexibility, that's no problem. I'm very happy with this MOU. Yeah,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mr. Wong.
Okay, Daisha.
I think that this is great. I think we need the money. We have lots of projects. So, and this is a significant amount of money. Our tennis team needs it. I've really appreciated the ability for our community to give feedback. I feel like taking the lines off the tennis courts was the biggest complaint that I was hearing, and that solved that. There's been a couple other complaints that have come through, and I just wonder, Dr. Greiner, if you would share publicly, because you've addressed them. The concern is with the noise, and what if it bothers the students especially?
Yeah.
Parking, and then the biggest complaint we've gotten is the limited access to tennis for our, you know, the understanding is during tennis practice, our students have priority. But outside of that, especially in the peak hours, it's already hard to get a tennis court. This is going to increase that. So I just wondered if you would mind sharing how you have been responding to community members that have shared those three concerns.
First of all, I appreciate the community feedback and the back and forth dialogue. And I appreciate the board too for working with me. If you've heard things, I've heard from several of you, if not all of you. And I want to say thank you, because I think that's how we've shown the community that we're approachable, we care. And I've heard nobody say, from families even, or community members, that they fault us for putting students first. So I think it's been great dialogue. And so thank you for that, Mrs. Mumford. So we've talked with the city about, and that's why we've even done some verbiage within the MOU. One thing that the city will say every time I go to them and say, what if, what do you think of this? Their comment is, we want to make this work. We want to be a great partner. We've done it so many other places. We want to make this work. You guys are going to lay out what needs to be done to make sure that our students have the experience they need. So, and you can stand up if I misspeak on any of this, but one of the things the city said, if you need to, you can put some time limits in there. We don't know what that would look like or if that is necessary, but that is absolutely something that we could do. They just want to have pickleball lining and the opportunity for citizens to look at both tennis and pickleball, because they've had a lot of citizens come and say, we'd love to have more pickleball. So they're going to put that amount of money toward it. They're asking us to line with pickleball in some way or another, four courts. And if we find that there are any kind of issues with timing and so forth, we can develop a plan that's fair, but that certainly puts students first during the tennis season. I hope I'm answering that question right. We believe the parking is not going to be an issue. And with regard to the noise, the timing could address that as well. But I've talked with Mrs. Delaney, and she says the walls are thick and you don't hear noise in our classrooms, is what she said. But
and the students outside would be at recess, so they need much louder.
Yeah,
they're going to disturb the tennis.
But as you said, Mrs. Mumford, and you've all been involved in some of that dialogue, and we want to be transparent here, and I appreciate that too. We do have the ability to address timing if we would find that necessary.
Thank you.
There's one member asked a question. She set up a specific scenario, say if a student come want to play tennis and there's already occupied the pickleball already occupied adult, they play over there. So for the kids, probably they just shy, they just walk away. So basically she's concerning this around maybe discourage the student to play, to use the tennis court. So I just, in that case, do we have any plans to answer their question? These questions are specifically.
If I understood that question correctly, in a situation where it's not school related, in the community now, Mrs. Mumford, I think, is the one that shared it with me. I didn't realize. I've not seen it. But they play pickleball now. And if they're on the courts, another person wouldn't necessarily have the right to come and say, hey, I want to play tennis now, so you need to leave your pickleball. I guess what I would say is, if it's not student-related where we are preparing for the sport, in other words, the coaches are out there, if it's just recreational, whether it's pickleball or tennis, whoever's there should be respected and allowed to finish their time on the court, and then if someone wants to wait their turn, then they would come on in the way that we do today.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
I think so. I can forward your answer to her. That's fine.
Thank you.
Because of those, for example, the varsity team members may play when they don't do the team practice, they still play. It's hard to say it's entertainment or they're practicing for the game. So it's, yeah.
I wonder what we do today.
Yeah, are there
because it really wouldn't be different was my point on whoever got there first.
Today it's just if it's official practice, then everybody knows to clear the court.
Yes.
When official practice is over, it's just first come, first serve.
And that's what I guess what I meant too with the question was, if that's what we do today, we would continue to do that. So whether the pickleball lines were on there or not, we would continue as we do today. But when it's official practice, or the coaches say they need the courts, the coaches are going to get those courts and those students are going to get those courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just now you said it's also possible that the courts might be put on the side and not in the middle. I think that would be helpful because really if it's in the middle, two people play, nobody can.
Agreed.
But if they are on the side, at least people who are farther away can play.
I think you make a great point, and we are going to be as least intrusive as we can. So we will certainly look at the options very closely. I appreciate the concerns of everybody, of the board and the community. So thank you.
Yeah, because it can be a liability issue. You know, people got hit by the ball or got injury or something.
Thank you.
I'm over here thinking, let's put pickleball on the roof. Okay, can we go ahead?
So our office staff threatened to make my office a pickleball. They said it's about the right size, so I'm not sure where they're going with this, but I might be on the roof somewhere. You might have to call me from the roof.
It might work.
Thank you all for your comments, questions, and throughout this process.
All right, let's go ahead and vote. All those in favor of accepting the memorandum of understanding, please indicate with a raised hand. That is everyone, Mrs. Julian. Okay. Let's talk buses. Thank you again to the city for everything. Let's talk about buses, Mrs. Clark.
Yeah, because it's super exciting. Yeah. All right. So we had in our 2024 budget replacement plan, bus replacement plan to replace bus 3312. So Mr. Caldwell, our transportation director, recently obtained bids for a 78-passenger gas conventional bus from the Central Indiana Educational Service Center, which provides a service of obtaining bids on various items a school corporation might need. Two companies provided bids, Bluebird and IC Collins, for that particular type of bus. Bluebird came in with the lowest overall bid price after build out at $169,278. Mr. Caldwell wishes to trade in bus 3312 with this purchase. Please approve the purchase of the Bluebird bus so that we can place the order. Delivery is not expected until the latter part of 2025, as there are continuous supply chain issues with buses still.
Still. Okay. I need a motion, please. Moved by Lawrence. Seconded by Tom. Is there any bus discussion? Super. All those in favor of purchasing the bus, please indicate with a raised hand. That is everyone, Mrs. Julian.
Thank you.
And next, let's talk about insurance. Everybody's favorite.
Another wildly exciting topic. Yes. Representatives from Henry Yacht Group began the process of quoting out our renewal property casualty liability, workers' compensation, and cyber liability insurance for 2025 back in August. Due to the volatility of the market this year, we've been hearing interesting stories, it was recommended that we continue with our current providers as they have been providing some of the best quotes across the industry, and for the fact that we quoted out fully last year, and you typically don't do that every year. It is recommended that we renew our property casualty liability insurance with Astra through Great American at a total package cost of $239,108, which is 16.2% more than our 24 premium, but that is mostly due to increasing property values, which is a common theme for all school districts across the state right now. We are recommending to stay with Accident Fund for another year for workers' compensation coverage at a premium cost of $51,522 for 2025, which is 9.5% lower than our 2024 premium, even though our total wages are expected to increase. So that's good. We continue to have a low experience modification driven by our claims history, and we have had a great working relationship with the Accident Fund over the past couple of years.
Henriette did receive multiple quotes for cyber liability insurance due to the lower deductible offered at a very nominal increased cost, only about $100, with the same $1 million limit. It is recommended that we switch to CFC for our 2025 coverage for the cost of $15,270. Please approve the insurance recommendations for 2025 as submitted. Once the recommendation is approved, Henriette can then begin working on finalizing our contracts for 2025.
I need a motion, please. Moved by Rachel. Seconded by Lawrence. Any discussion about insurance? Lawrence.
A few couple follow-up clarify questions. I really appreciate the summaries. It's a nice summary of the whole things. But I see there's one thing is regarding law enforcement liability insurance. We have about 5,000 for that. I think that's kind of new things for us.
Changing how much we are having to pay for the security officers. That's what you're asking about, right?
Yeah.
Because I actually have to include every single officer that can be in our building, not just the FTE. Okay. So it used to be they could based upon the three FTE, one for each building. Now it has to be for every single person that could be a security officer within the buildings. And we have about 15 different ones that rotate in and out.
Okay. So my understanding.
So that's why there's an increased cost for that.
So my understanding is because since next year we will have three each individual SRO, right? School resource.
Once that changes, I can tell them, and then they could reassess our premium. But until that changes, we can't reassess that premium. We have to go into it with what we are now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the reason why we have. So last year I saw there's a 600 something, but this year is 5,000. So you think that's
Reading the numbers.
Okay.
The numbers that are on the, it was 600 last year, 5,000.
Yes, it is because of the increased numbers.
Okay. Yeah, another question. I saw on the document is called the WRCSC insurance renewal summary. So in their section, they have, say, security officers increased by 15.
That's what I just explained.
You talk about
we didn't actually increase by 15. They only counted the FTE before. Now it's every individual officer that's in our buildings. The high school may have 10 different ones that are covering on a day-to-day basis to cover that time period.
Okay, got you. Another thing is regarding the insurance, they have some estimate annual revenue for our school. Say I look at that, the number 2025, they have the number is 48 million something. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's the estimate or that's kind of actual?
There is an application that I fill out where they ask for what our total revenue from the state was last year, so on and so forth. And so that's where they get all of that information.
Okay. You think that's the right number? Huh?
Yes.
Okay. But that's the estimate. It's not really the...
Yes, everything is estimated, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Because I can't guess how much we're going to have in 2025. So it's an educated guess, but we never know. So.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Anything else? Super. All those in favor of renewing the property insurance, please indicate with a raised hand. That is everyone, Mrs. Julian. Okay, and now we're going to move on to Dr. Greiner's superintendent report.
All right, I'll make it semi-brief. We continue making progress in our strategic planning process. Last week, on Wednesday, Mr. Jones facilitated two virtual community focus groups. He did one in the morning, and then he did the other one in the evening at 7 p.m. While attendance was lower than anticipated, only two participants in the morning session and six in the evening session, the discussions were actually very productive. And the input we received was valuable. Of course, we were just listening and Mr. Jones was dialoguing and taking notes to use that in addition to what he's gaining and his team is gaining from the survey results. We would like to see greater participation in the face-to-face sessions. And so we're going to add one more session in January. I'll tell you that date here in a minute. I'd like to first say, though, that our stakeholder survey has been highly successful with nearly 2,000 responses collected. And these responses are now being analyzed by Mr. Jones and his team. And then once he's got the themes and the insights all pulled together, he'll be able to share that information accordingly. Looking ahead, here's a quick reminder of upcoming events for the strategic planning process. This week, building focus groups will occur in each one of our buildings, and that'll be for our faculty and our students to have an opportunity to have some of that face-to-face dialogue, focusing on specific questions. December 11th will be the intermediate school, December 12th, the high school, and December 13th, the elementary school. We're also going to do an in-person meeting with community members, and that'll be at our central office, most likely. That's December 20th. It's at 10:30 in the morning. And I say most likely because if, depending on the number, if necessary, we would move that. This room's a little bigger than the central office room. So if we find that the numbers require that, then we'll communicate to everybody and we'll hold that meeting here, again, facilitated by Mr. Jones. And then we'll have that additional virtual meeting that I mentioned to you on January the 15th. That'll be at 1 p.m. And then in February, we're going to do a strategic planning GPS leadership workshop for administrators. That's on February 25th at noon. That'll last till about 4 p.m. We'll hold that in the central office. That, again, will be facilitated by Mr. Jones. Winter break's coming up, as you're aware. The last student day before winter break is December 20th. We wish everyone rest and quality family time, and school will resume on January 6th. And then finally, Mr. Schott and Mr. Marley, with this being our final meeting of 2024, we will be saying goodbye to Mr. Schott and Mr. Marley. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done on our board, your committed efforts and serving on our board. For me, it's been an honor and a privilege to serve with you, and I very much appreciate your board leadership. And I'll also look out in the audience and say that we will be welcoming Dr. Purpura and Mr. Lyle, and I'm very grateful for your willingness to serve on our board as well.
Okay. Next, we have Mrs. Cronk.
I think they got questions.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Sorry.
I had a question. The teachers and staff who are participating in the strategic planning sessions, are they inside or outside of contract hours to do that?
Those are inside contract hours, because it will be during the school day. Mr. Jones will be at each building all day on the day that I shared dates with
Perfect.
You on.
Thank
yeah,
you.
You're welcome. Lawrence. Mr. Wong?
So regarding this December 20th meeting and January 15th meeting, I think I got the invitations because I'm parents, but do we outreach the community members, say they are not I mean, they don't have students in our school, but just local peoples. Do we have the invitation sent to those peoples?
We're doing it through social media, and we're doing it on the website. We've got that posted on the website. We can certainly post it on the website, but we're certainly sending out on social media. But I think you asked, spread the word to anybody. We want anybody
right.
and everybody.
Yeah, because I heard at least two people, so when I talk about this is pretty significant. So I'm excited. I say, hey, we
Good.
Try to. And there are two people, they say they didn't receive that yet. So I just wondering, we want to, spread the word.
Please.
I don't want
Please.
The people, the conversations, I don't want to say, we have these things. And they say, you know what? I didn't get anything. When you get the referendum, you call me, knock the doors, because let me know. But now when you make decision, you don't let me know. So I think if we have spread word,
yes,
that's right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we will continue. I think for the survey we sent out, the city was willing to send out something. So we can see if they can send something out. We can talk later with them about that. Because I think we got some additional
okay.
community survey
okay.
questions through that process. And we can also have, if we take notes, Mrs. Roth, the city, and we'll have Mrs. Ayler also. Actually, you take notes if you would, please. We'll reach out to those two community
okay.
outreach opportunities. And I agree with you, Mr. Wong. We want anybody and everybody. So all of you, please feel free to spread the word as well.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate thank you.
Sure.
Cool. Mrs. Cronk.
Yeah. Claims for the period of November 7th to December 4th total $2,218,154.57, including regular corporation expenses and the Wabash Valley Education Center expenses. Of this amount, $1,266,598.94 were paid towards wages, salaries, and benefits. I also included a separate docket for the November 5th payroll, as the last docket may not have picked up all of the benefits because they may have been posted after we ran that docket last time. So just to make sure everything was included, I included that again. again for the November 5th payroll. I've also provided the final fund report for October in your board packets. Total cash on hand in all funds was $20,592,824. The education fund had a cash balance of $5,959,226. A preliminary fund report for November is also included in your board packet, but we have not yet finished reconciling the month. I was on a vacation and Janelle has been sick, and so we are trying to get caught up right now. So, yeah.
Thank you. Move on to our board reports. I get to go first tonight. I'd like to congratulate Rachel on her selection as the ISBA Region 4 director. I think they're very lucky to have you, and you're going to do a great job. So thank you for serving in that capacity. I also want to report that I did meet with Daisha, as we discussed earlier, and our corporation lawyer regarding her statements about community members online and in her meeting summaries. I asked that she stop using community members' names in her publications, and she refused. However, she did agree to avoid releasing addresses, signatures, birth dates, and other sensitive information in the future. I also corresponded with Luke Britt, the public access counselor. We had a question as to whether or not the policy committee needed to be treated like an open public meeting, or if it was more a doing the work of a board situation. He advised that the meeting should be public and should have minutes prepared and publicly available and be advertised and posted as this meeting is, but that public comment is not necessary. The reason some board members questioned the necessity of public comment was because if a member of the public makes comments during the policy committee meeting, only those policy committee members will hear that comment firsthand. However, if they comment during this meeting to the whole board, we'll all hear their comments. So Mr. Britt agreed, that having all the voting members of the board hear the comments would be preferred in that case, and that we should encourage the public to comment during our regular meeting if they have thoughts on policy. Hopefully this will, going forward, the policy committee meetings will be public, will be advertised and posted in advance in the same way our regular meetings are, and minutes will be prepared and posted online. So hopefully we'll be able to move forward with more of that. And finally, I wish to extend all of our gratitude to Tom for his many years of selfless service to the school district. You'll be deeply missed, and got you a clock to keep track of all your free time. Okay, next we'll go to Daisha.
Foundation had their grant reception on November 21st, and our own Mr. Rowe was recognized for the grant. He was awarded titled STEM Coding with Tinkerworks Tech a Sketch. So, and explained all about it at the grant reception and was great. So,
say that three times fast. All right, thank you. Lawrence.
Yeah, for me, the park. Park report, they have the farmer market and this year's season before Thanksgiving, so that's one thing. And the Riverside Skating Center opened after Thanksgiving, and they have after school program is fully enrolled and they're running very well. And right now they are planning the program for spring break and also the next summer. And also the Carson Family Park will be ready by the end of next May. So they're also planning the program for that part. So so that's something about the park. And for my personal report, so I attend, there's a financial, a school financial seminars, I think last week, right? Last week. So I have a summary report in our folder. So in case anybody are interested in that, so that you guys can take a look. And also, since Tom Schott is the last meeting, so I really appreciate he had many years, more than 10 years service in public service, and it's my honor to work with Tom Schott in the same teams. So I learned from him, his perspective, so I really appreciate this opportunity so we can work together. So that's my honor, and my pleasure. And also, I really looking forward to work with two incoming members, Dr. David Perura, and also George Lea. So hopefully I will in the same work together, and we can serve our schools and make our school and the community a better place for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your diligence in remembering to write the summaries. You do an excellent job of always doing that, and I do not, so I appreciate that. Rachel.
Sure. The WLEA met for the board teacher discussion on Thursday, on the 21st of November. It was a great meeting. They talked, kind of wrapped up conversation about that early release on the PSAT day and the parent teacher conferences, and gathered a lot of good feedback. It was very positive overall. Also had end of the year updates from the business office. Michelle always is on top of things, and she remains so. Talked about support staffing again, just an update on how that's going. And our administrators in the buildings are working hard always on that. And then talked about summer school hours and gathered a lot of information about that. So it's, as Mr. Rogers reported tonight. And then with regard to the policy committee, just to, as a clarifying point for other members of the board, we had already made the changes in what we were doing that Mr. Britt recommended to us as well. And so the only exception to that will be the minutes. Unfortunately, they will look much like our executive session minutes because we do not make decisions in policy. There's no content on the minutes, so, but I'm afraid they might be lack interest, but we will dot that I, so to speak. And it is my request or recommendation that we delay any further work on policy committee until after the January organizational meeting. And so we would not bring any policies forward again until February, if that is.
I was thinking you could meet on Christmas Eve. I thought that would be fun. Okay.
So I am thinking the earliest that Lawrence and I would have the opportunity to meet would be at the end of January, and we would be unlikely to be prepared for a February meeting. So
I agree. I think that makes sense.
Clearing that time off
gives our new members time to
read all the policies,
read everything, the whole thing. And also, as long as we're talking about committees, I wanted to ask, in the event that I am reelected as board chair, or if someone else is elected as board chair, it would be helpful to either person to have an idea of your interests as far as committees. So if you just really can't look at one more policy, now's the time to make that known, and I will collect that information and have it available to whoever happens to be president next year. I do have ideas, though. Yes.
The policy is ad hoc temporary, though.
So it is. So that would stay put, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Very good point. Thank you. Which is why we put the two of you on it.
Yes.
Right. Excellent point.
I will not give you my opinion about policy.
Okay. But everything else, I want to know. Your innermost thoughts. UA, what's new?
Attended the GLASS meeting in November, and one issue the meeting actually repeatedly discussed is the shortage of language speech pathologist. And so people try to brainstorm the solution for that shortage. And one possible way is to pull them out from the general contract and to offer more competitive salary. And I don't know the solution, but just that's one issue I repeatedly heard at the meeting. And the next meeting, a GLASS meeting, will be on February 18th, 2:00 at the Dungan Hall. And the public actually is welcome to make comments if they have any concerns.
Great.
Well, thank you, Tom, for your service and contribution to the district. And welcome, David and George.
Go ahead.
Wasatch Schools Education Foundation had a great turnout for the scholarship information night on December 2nd, despite the weather. The application site is open for students to apply for WLESEF scholarships. Information was mailed to all seniors on December 3rd. The foundation is grateful to the high school counseling team, especially Elise Gruss, for another outstanding career and trades expo. Thank you to Greg Tudor and Excel Group, which provided bags for the students to collect all the giveaways. Thank you also to Foundation board members who provided gift cards to be used as prizes for the students who completed their Expo bingo cards. The winter edition of the Devil's Advocate alumni newsletter will be mailed this month. Seven teachers received WLSCF teacher grants this semester, totaling $6,760. We also had two teachers receive grants this fall from other sources. As Tasia mentioned, Patrick Rowe with the Public Schools Foundation of Tippecanoe County, and Courtney Murtaugh from the Big Ten Football Championship Game Classroom Resource Grant Program. Congratulations to all these educators. As this is my last meeting as a member of the West Lafayette School Board, I would like to make a few farewell comments. First and foremost, thank you to my home team, Jane, August, and Sam. Your love and support mean everything to me. I want to take a moment to acknowledge Jane, whose departure from the junior senior high school last summer after 17 years as a teacher, coach, and administrator pretty much flew under the radar. As so many will attest, she poured her heart and soul into the West Lafayette Community School Corporation. To Alan Karpik, Rachel, Amy, thank you for being great board presidents and even greater colleagues and people. I also want to acknowledge a few other fellow board members through the years, Diane Sauter, Karen Springer, Brian Bittner, and Brad, who were tremendous mentors, role models, and teammates. To the West Lafayette Schools Education Foundation, former President Doug Masson, current President Brad Cohen, Executive Director Wendy Ayler, and the rest of the board, you are such a vital partner for our schools. I truly value your enthusiasm to enhance educational opportunities, ensure that every student has the resources needed to thrive, and strengthen alumni ties, as well as your professionalism and teamwork. To Rocky Killian, it was a joy working with you because your excitement and compassion were so contagious. You built the foundation on which our current success sits, and our school district will always be indebted to you. To Roberta, thank you for your joy, your patience, and of course, your treats. Your tolerance in reinventing how meeting minutes are kept more than once is appreciated, as is your dealing with my nitpicky edits, always happily doing so. To Dr. Greiner, thank you for accepting our offer to become superintendent and for building an incredibly talented and devoted team with Mrs. Roth and Mrs. Kronk. Thank you for your leadership and commitment to our students, teachers, staff, and community. The three of you are rock stars in a challenging environment, too often made more so by some who seek to micromanage. I hope the new members, George and David, will help change the contentious culture of the board and in turn make your professional lives more pleasant. You deserve that. Our community is so fortunate to have you. To our teachers and staff, thank you for your passion and for teaching our students how to learn, how to think, and how to problem solve, preparing them for their future. And finally, to our community, thank you for entrusting me as a board member for the last 12 years. It has been my honor and privilege to serve, and I have tried to do so with a calm and common sense approach. It was never about me or my friends and acquaintances. It was always about our school district and community at large. I am hopeful that any difference I might have helped make reinforced Purdue as the state of Indiana's top school district, one that our students, alumni, faculty, and staff are proud to call their school. Westside was a special place when I joined the board in 2013 and remains a special place today. RDP.
Thank you very much. Let's end the meeting, he says. All right, so next month, are we going to be in the new?
There's a strong possibility we will keep you posted. It looks okay. Like it may be on track based on some research we recently did. And so if everything comes in on time, the answer is yes.
Okay, so everybody call me Sunday. We'll get it sorted out. Future meeting is Monday, January 13th. We'll let you know where. There will be no work session, so we will only be meeting at 6. We've covered the dates of interest. The semester ends the 20th. Winter break starts Monday the 23rd and goes to January 3rd, but really the 6th because of a weekend. And Martin Luther King Jr. Day is the 20th of January, and there will be no school. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Okay. I'll need a motion to adjourn. Moved by Lawrence, second. Second by Dacia. All right. All those in favor of adjourning Tom's last meeting? That's everyone, Mrs.